Here, we're about to begin the sigils of Sukkah. We're going to try to break up the hills of Sukkah. We only have two different categories as well. Try to finish all of the Sukkah in the next couple of days. So we'll try to divide up the hills of Sukkah in the following. We'll talk a little bit about the chetz of the Sukkah itself. What are some of the halachos that's in the walls, that's in the schach, the makeup of the Sukkah proper. And then we'll speak a little bit more about the mitzvah of Sukkah. What exactly one is supposed to do in the Sukkah, what is obligated to do in the Sukkah. The mitzvahs of Yeshiva Sukkah, and then hopefully we have a lot of time for Dalai Minim. So that's pretty much what the game plan is, hopefully for the next week and a half. So when we begin to speak about the chetz of the Sukkah, so we immediately notice that there are two different components that make up the Sukkah. There's what's called the funnels, the walls of the Sukkah, and there's what's called the schach, the top of the Sukkah. The Gemara learns out from Sukkah, many that he did it that relate to the schach, that just about all the halachas as to what specifically, what materials make up the Sukkah, those apply to the schach itself. The Gemara assumes that the phrase Chag HaSukkah, Tasa L'chor, the phrase Sukkah is Mikra Hashem B'schach, and therefore all the dinim, which we'll talk about a little bit later, about the schach can't be connected to the ground, the schach has to visually grown from the ground, it can't be tummy, etc. All of those halachas only apply to the schach. When it comes to the funnels, when it comes to the walls, and there pretty much are no halachas concerning the walls. Now that's a little bit of a misstatement. It doesn't mean there are no halachas concerning the walls. It means that all the psulim, normal psulim, are kosher for the walls, but there are certain halachas that govern the making of the walls themselves. The basic halachas that govern the walls are as follows, that there is a certain minimum amount of walls that are necessary. That's a machlekes hatanoim, how many walls are necessary for a sukkah to be ksheira. So we passed in halacha that three walls are necessary. The Gemara derives from sukkim. There's a dim in the Torah that a sukkah has to have a minimum of three walls. Then there is a halacha of Moshe Sinai, that third wall need not be a complete wall. That third wall can be smaller than the regular size of the sukkah. Normally the size is a shear for how big a sukkah has to be. We bask in that the shear of a sukkah has to be a minimum of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. It has to be, the normal two sides of the sukkah have to be 7 tefachim one direction, 7 tefachim in the other direction. Where did that shear come from? That has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So it explains that that's the size that approximately that a person can fit into. Since the halacha says that a sukkah has to be a makom dira, it has to be a place where a person can live, so a person has to be able to fit into that sukkah. Not only must a person fit into the sukkah, but he has to have a table that can fit into the sukkah, also a bare minimum table. If he can't even fit a small, tiny tray into the table, into the sukkah, how is he going to possibly eat? That's where the Ran explains that in the beginning of the sukkah, that min ha-Torah is a shear of 7 tefachim. 6 tefachim is the size for a person. An average person is about 6 tefachim or so. And then you need a 6 tefachim wide. And then you need another tefach just to be able to have someone to sit down with. So that's a din min ha-Torah, the Ran claims. There are some rishonim who say that seventh tefach is only min ha-Rabbanan. But min ha-Torah, as long as there's enough room to fit a person, 6 tefachim, that would be an acceptable sukkah min ha-Torah. The need for the seventh tefach is only min ha-Rabbanan. That's already a shayla. That is the shear of 7 tefachim, the rice is the Rabbanan. But even whatever the shear is, whether the rice take a shear of 6 tefachim, whether the rice take a shear of 7 tefachim, that's only necessary in the first two walls. On the third wall, so the Torah says that Allah Moshe Mishinai says that it's good enough if it's even a tefach. That's what we say. We require shtayim kil chosam, two walls that are built properly to the 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, shlishis afilu tefach. The third wall would be sufficient even if it's merely a tefach long. Then the Gemara says, "Masechus Sukkah that midrabbanan." The Chachamim didn't want it to be just tefach midrabbanan; they wanted it to be a little bit longer. So like a little details about how to touch up that third wall to make sure it doesn't look too bad. But midaraisa, it's good enough. Shtayim kochasa l'shlishis afilu tefach. So there is a halach in terms of how many walls you require. That's true. There's no deal what the walls have to be made of, but there is a bare minimum in a Torah of how many walls have to be present. Then there are other halachas that govern the walls, which are pretty much the same halachas that govern other mechitzas in terms of the Shabbos. The halacha tells us that there are many areas of halacha where you require mechitzas. Let's say, for example, in Shabbos, if you want to carry in a certain area, so it has to be what's called the Rishus HaYochid. The Rishus HaYochid doesn't depend on whether somebody owns it or not, but rather Rishus HaYochid is defined by any area that's surrounded by walls. Any area that's surrounded by halachic walls is considered to be a Rishus HaYochid. So there is a halacha of Moshe Sinai that the minimum size, the minimum dimensions for a wall, both in terms of the Shabbos as well as in terms of the Sukkah, is 10 tefachim tall. That's what the Mishnah says in Sukkah, that you have to have a minimum 10 tefachim for the height of the Sukkah. You'll see if we talk a little bit more about the Schach. The Schach need not even rest on the Sukkah. The Schach may be higher up, but the wall, size of the wall, has to be a minimum of 10 tefach. Again, so we know that there have to be three walls, each of the walls has to be 10 tefach. And then the Gemara has in the second breath, in the second sukkah, but there's a din, again, which is not really a sukkah halacha, it's a din in other areas of hilchos mechitzas as well, that a mechitza has to be able to be strong enough to withstand the normal wind. That's the yichol olam baruch metzuya. Let's say you build a wall for the purpose of carrying a Shabbos, but it's a very flimsy, it's a curtain, it's flying in the wind, so that's not considered to be a wall, neither for the purposes of Shabbos, nor for the purposes of a sukkah. So there is a big machlekes in the poskim. What exactly does this criteria mean, this condition, that has to be yichol olam baruch metzuya? What practically does this mean? So the Chazanish has a very big chiddush in Hilchos Sukkah, in Hilchos Shabbos. The Yechol Olam HaBaruch Metzuya doesn't mean that the wall has to remain stationary. You can have a wall that moves, that sways in the wind. That in and of itself doesn't disqualify it from being a wall, halacha. But the din is that it cannot collapse in the wind. It has to be something that it's going to be able to stand up to the point that it's not going to fall down. So let's say right now it's not a very windy day, it's not a breeze day at all. And right now you have this very, very flimsy wall that's not going anywhere, because there's no wind. But tomorrow it's going to get a little bit windy, not a tornado, not a hurricane. So you're normal wind, and a little normal breeze is going to throw this wall down. So that's what the bit is, that even though right now there's no wind, and right now the wall is standing, such a mechitza is not considered to be a mechitza. That's the shear of a mechitza, that's the shear, just as there's a shear of height of a mechitza, 10 to 12, there's a shear of thickness of a mechitza, of strength of a mechitza, it has to have the ability to stand up on its own, and if it's going to fall down and collapse, so that even though right now it's not collapsing, because right now there's no wind, that's not considered to be a kosher mechitza. Neither for Shabbos nor for Sukkah. That's the Chazanish's Kiddush. And others say no. Others say the Poshup Shat and the Magen Avraham. And other poskim is that no. That even if you have a mechitza that's not going to collapse, just the mechitza is not in one place. The mechitza is always swaying, it's always coming and going. Even though it's never going anywhere, it's never going to really fall down, but it's not. It's just not in one place. That in and of itself is a problem. And even though right now it's not windy, that would disqualify the mechitza, both in terms of the Shabbos as well as in terms of the Sukkah. It's based on this second interpretation against the Chazanish that raises the question in terms of many of the sukkahs that people use, called the prefab sukkahs, you know, those blue sukkahs, yellow sukkahs, whatever they are, canvas sukkahs, the prefab canvas sukkahs that blow in the wind. The question is, are those sukkahs acceptable or not?
They have like little things where you tie them.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. So according to the Chazanish, it's not, nothing's really going to go wrong. According to the Chazanish, it's not going to collapse. Normal wind's not going to knock down. Maybe that normal wind will knock them down. But if that normal wind will knock down a regular wood sukkah also. So since the sukkah's not going to collapse in the wind, therefore, according to the Chazanish, it wouldn't be a problem. But according to the more chumra version, against the Chazanish, which appears to be other possible, we're going to wrong, perhaps others, that the din of Enum Richolava means it has to come stay in one place. So the question comes, can we be machshir those sukkahs? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about those kinds of sukkahs. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about if you have a sukkah made out of urias, made out of a curtain or something. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to tie it down really, really strong to make sure that it doesn't move. So the Chalabi, if you have one of those sukkahs and you tie it down really, really tight and it doesn't move, so maybe that would be acceptable. The problem is that it's not always so easy to do that. But very often people will hold the tie, they still move a little bit. Yeah, so the question is that really good or not? It's quoted from the Moshe Feinstein. The Moshe was of the opinion that as long as the wall doesn't move more than three tefachim, that would be okay. We'll talk about that a little bit later. There's a halacha Moshe Messina called three tefachim, that if something is within three tefachim of something else, so that's not considered to be a break. It's considered to be as if it's connected to one another. So the Moshe suggested that maybe if you have a wall, you know, it's swaying a little bit, but as long as the sway is less than three tefachim, so that's still considered to be as if it's not moving. It's a chiddush. So if you put together the Chazanish Svara and the Moshe Sfula, so if either one of those is correct, so then one can be salvaged the canvas sukkahs. Again, most people in America, many people in America make them on the canvas sukkahs, either because of the Chazanish, because of the Moshe, or they try to tie it, or they figure that the combination of those three things, they tie it well, and the Moshe is right, and the Chazanish is right, that would be okay. And there are others who prefer not to use them. The reason why the Machmirim don't like this, one of the reasons why they don't like those canvas sukkahs, is because of this problem.
So I know, like, if, you know, the wall has to be within three tefachim of the skach at the top, so what if, like, you know, it's swaying so much that at some point it's no longer within three tefachim?
Yeah, that would be a problem according to Chazanish also. That could be asked if the wall doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Even though we said that for the most part, the halachas of sukkah are not, don't revolve so much around the defanos, they're much more around the stach, there are certain halachas that the defanos are possibly equated to, the defanos machitz, the same thing, but they are equated perhaps to the stach. There is a din that a person is not permitted to derive benefit from one sukkah. Let's say one built a sukkah, erev sukkis, and now it's a middle of eating sukkah, the middle of chalavoy, and you realize that you need some firewood, your fireplace. You want to knock down some of the stach, take some of the schach and use it for firewood. So the Gemara says that would be an issa deraisa. That's derived from Apostle Chai Pesukah, Shemes Yom LaHashem, that just as the Yibriya Korban LaHashem, Yibriya Korban Chagiga on Sukkis, and you're not allowed to be manif, and you're not allowed to benefit from it, the person uses the Korban for his own personal use, that's an issa deraisa. So Peshem Shechal Shem Shemayim LaChagiga, Kachal Shem Shemayim LaSukkis. So too, the schach, the sukkah, whatever is considered to be halachic, the sukkah is considered to belong to Hashem. And if a person uses that for his private purposes, that would be an issa deraisa on sukkah. If the sukkah is over, then it loses its kedusha. It calls man with sukkahs, so the kedusha is intact on the level of deraisa. So there is a machlokes, the rabbi with the rash, what would it be if a person doesn't take off the schach, or rather a person takes off the walls? Would that be, let's say, I need some extra wood, so I knock down one of the walls of the sukkah, I use that for firewood, would that be a problem in our Torah? So the Rambam writes that would be an issa deraisa as well, and the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, how could that be an issa deraisa? The issa deraisa is only on the schach. All the din with the sukkah, but the wall referred to the schach. The walls are not really subject to the regular din with the sukkah. So says the Rosh, how could the Rambam say that there would be an issa deraisa to use the walls as well? So there's a famous beer from Reb Chaim in his Kedushim on the Rambam. Reb Chaim explains that the Rambam shift is as follows, that there are really two different halachas of sukkah. There's what's called the cheftz of the sukkah, the object of the sukkah itself, and then there's the fact that the sukkah is being used for the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. So the sukkah is endowed with a certain cheftz. The cheftz of the sukkah only applies to the schach. The walls are not part of the cheftz of the sukkah, and therefore the halachas that govern the cheftz of the sukkah, such as that it has to be something which is not for kabbal tumah, it has to be something that doesn't grow on the ground, and it has to be something that once did grow on the ground, etc. All of those halakas are halakas that govern the cheftz of the sukkah. So therefore, those halakas only apply to the schach, that don't apply to the defanos. However, the isur hanash, though, is not a function of the cheftz of the sukkah. It's not that a cheftz of the sukkah is also hanash, but rather it's something that was used to fulfill the mitzvah of the yeshiva of the sukkah. It's the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah that creates the potential isser of the of being nana from it. So anything that was used as part of the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah is mitzvah is chal on it and isser and amin atarvus. So says Reb Chaim Benasa Rambam, lemaisi you need the walls. You can't fulfill the mitzvah without walls. A guy sits in the sukkah with perfectly kosher schach without any walls, so he's not yet to the mitzvah. So it's true that he has a cheftzah shel sukkah, but he didn't fulfill the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. So the defanos are necessary and prerequisite for the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. Therefore, anything that's part of the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah automatically carries with it an issur deraisa to be nehemah from. So
the Rosh would say it's mechila.
Well, the Rosh would say it's also the rabbanan. It's not going to be better than the decoration. Decorations are also awesome, and the rabbanan to be the mitzvah. So achoponim, we have halachas that govern the walls of the sukkah. They're not the same as the schach itself. The schach itself are much more serious, but we have certain halachas that do govern the walls. So we have the amount of walls are necessary, the shtang and chos of kishit shetil tefach, we have there has to be a minimum of 10 tefach at all, we have the halachas that have to be yichol alam and ruch kutsui, whatever that means, and we have at least a point in Ram, and then it becomes awesome. I know. But the bulk of the sukkah do revolve around the schach. The Torah says the basic conditions that are necessary that have to be met, the schach, the gemara derives from sukkah, these are all tashir apel, all dinam rin daraisa, the schach has to meet the following conditions. But first of all, the schach has to be something which is not mechubal karka. It cannot be connected to the ground as of now. That's the reason why the halacha is that one cannot use a tree. Let's say a person is going to pull the sukkah and then put the sukkah directly and use the branches that are connected to serve as the schach. That would not be acceptable because the schach is mechubal karka. Not only is the sukkah, the tree cannot be used as a schach, but even if I have a perfectly kosher sukkah, and then I put the sukkah under a tree, I have another tree 20 feet up in the air, so I would think, what's the problem with that? And here I have a kosher sukkah, I have my kosher sukkah with my bamboo, I'm not using the branches, I'm not using the branches of the tree, the branches of the tree are 20 feet above, so the Mishnah says in the Sefer Sukkah and Aftes, that's a different problem, that's what's called a sukkah tachas ha'ilon. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk that it has to be only one level of schach, you can't have multiple levels of schach. Let's say I have a sukkah over here, and then I have another sukkah on top of me. Also, sukkah tak is a sukkah, so that would be a problem. So just the sukkah tak is a sukkah is no good, sukkah tak is a ilon would also not be good. But But again, the basic halacha is that an ilon is not kosher pesach because it's mechubal karka. Not only does the sukkah not have to be mechubal karka, but it has to be something that did originally emanate from the karka. It has to be gedul like karka. But anything which doesn't grow in the ground would be problematic. And the third halacha is has to be something which is not into mekabel tuma. Anything that's able, that's subject to the rules of Kabbalah, still would be a problem. So for this reason, let's say, for example, a kli would not be acceptable. If I have a wooden kli, I want to take a bunch of wooden bowls and put them on top of my staff. So even though the wood grew in the ground, and the wood no longer is connected to the ground, but once I form it into a kli, then it's right on top of tuma. Then it's susceptible to the dim of tuma. And once it's susceptible to the dim of tuma, then it's not kosher staff. Well, let's say I want to use food. I want to line my... instead of using schach, I use a lot of, apples to put on top of my schach. That's also not good, even though the apples grew in the ground, and the apples are no longer connected to the ground, but since they're food, so oichel is right in the kabel tuma. Therefore, the halacha says that you have to use something which is something like branches. It's not a branch, it's not a kabel tuma. Let's say you have a bamboo pole. So a bamboo pole is not a kabel tuma, it's not a kli. What are you going to do with it? Even if you decide to take a bamboo pole and use it as a bat or play stickball with it or something, it's still not considered to be a kli for Kabbalah's tuma because the kli A, it's a wooden kli, and rather than a kabel tuma, it has to have what's called a base kibble. It has to have a receptacle to it. That's the Gemara derives from the pasuk. That if you just have a flat piece of wood, even though it's functioning as a clay, that's not mekabel tuma. It has to have a base kibble. So a bamboo pole, the chlal doesn't have any base kibble. Even though sometimes it has a loop, and sometimes if you look inside, the way the bamboo is shaped, sometimes there's a little place that water can collect or something inside the pole. So that's not considered to be a base kibble, because that's not the daita lekach for kabbalah. It's only considered to be a base kibble when a person plans it that way that he wants to. Bamboo poles and use them to fill up with water and I'll drink from those bamboo poles and that he will have turned it into a base keeper. But no small people don't do that. So therefore, bamboo, we assume, is kosher l'chatchila shavu l'chatchila. We're going to talk about it, okay? So comes the Mishnah in the end of the first paragraph of Masechet Sukkah tells us that sometimes you can take branches which in and of themselves are perfectly okay for first half. But you could make them into a mat. If you make them into a mat, so then they may become susceptible to tuma. What is that based on? Even though this guy finished saying that wood is not a kabel tuma unless it's a base kibble, there is an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is that it's called roil and medras. If it's something which is normal for a person to sit on or a person to lie down on, that's going to be a whole different parasha. That's called roil and medras, and then it would be tamei. So for this reason, that the Mishnah says you have to be very careful. If you take a bunch of branches and sew them together and make a little mat out of it, so then you may have created something which is roiled to tumas medras, and that would be a problem. So the din is that tumas medras depends on what your intention is. If you're planning on using it to lay down on, to sit on, to use as something to support yourself on, that would be a problem. If your intention is not to use it for that, you made it for the purposes of schach, so then that would presumably not be a problem. So initially, the Gemara gives a whole different rules. If it's big, if it's little, what your kavanah is, etc. So with none of that, basically the rules don't apply. The basic rule is very simple. The Maisa, what's your kavanah? Is your kavanah l'shem using as a mat to sit on? Is your kavanah l'shem schach? So that was the issue that was with some of the bamboo mats. Some of the schach mats that have been created over the last couple of years, whether they're acceptable or not. So the minigolim is clearly to be making on this. We assume, most people assume that these are made specifically for the purposes of schach, and therefore they're not really mekabel tumas medras. And not everybody was thrilled about this. There was some question that if the mats are made by a guy somewhere, and the guy sitting in China is pressing a button and he's making mats, and he doesn't really know too much about sukkah. He didn't finish learning the sukkah. So he thinks that he's making them for the purposes of sitting on. Everybody else doesn't shine this, and maybe one would argue that that would be problematic. So yeah, it's a very complicated Hilchos Tumah question, but the fact that he presses the button, he thinks such and such, doesn't really make much of a difference anyway. So again, there are different factors involved in the shining, and most people are makeup. I think it may be preferable to get the mats from Eretz Yisrael rather than the ones from China. And make them in Eretz Yisrael now, the ones that are in Eretz Yisrael now. So I think that may alleviate some of the chashash. But whatever it is, the equid, then we probably assume that the mats are acceptable. So again, so when we speak about the halachas of schach in terms of not mekabel tumah and not mekabel karka, and some which is gedulim in a karka, so those refer primarily to the schach, they don't refer to the tefanos. There is a machlokes in Gemara, machlokes at Maroi, machlokes at Tanoim. Is there another important consideration in terms of staff? And that's as follows. Let's say I put up walls for the sukkah, and the walls themselves are made out of whatever. They're made out of wood, they're made out of brick, they're made out of metal, whatever they're made out of, that's okay. And the staff is perfectly okay. It's made out of loopholes, made out of branches, whatever it is. But I use something to support this staff. The staff can't sit on its own, so I put some crossbeams or something to support the staff. Is the halacha that those crossbeams or whatever else is supporting the staff, must those things that are supporting the staff be kosher the staff themselves or not? That's what's called a ma'amid. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara, and a machlekes the machlekes that Maroim with a machlekes that Tanoim, is that a problem or not? So there's one day in the Gemara that claimed that that would be a problem. Ma'amid is called ma'amid b'dover makabachuma, would potentially disqualify the sukkah. The question is, like, why? What do we want for the sukkah? If the staff is kosher, so why do I care what the ma'amid is? So there's seems to be a machlekes that we've shown him within that opinion that said it's a problem. So Rashi seems to say that that opinion that says it's a problem would argue that whenever something is being mobbed at something else, so then it really becomes like one entity. Since Reuben has to hold Shimon up, Shimon can't stand on his own 2 feet. So Reuben is necessary to hold Shimon up, so Reuben and Shimon merge to become one. So whenever you have a ma'amid, so the ma'amid becomes an effect like the staff, just as the staff is governed by a certain set of rules, so too the ma'amid is governed by the same rules. And according to Rashi, that may very well be a din minat Torah. Whereas the Ran doesn't say that. The Ran says that even if there is a problem, I didn't say there is a problem, but even though Zion is a problem, ma'amid, so the Ran says it's a gezeira mit rabbanan, that we're afraid that if we let people use ma'amid, which apostle, the next thing you know, they may come to use that for the schach itself. So therefore, mit rabbanan, we want everything on the top of the sukkah to be kosher, even though definitely speaking in a Torah, just because it's being ma'amid, that would impose a problem. So we have a machlokes whether there is such a din of ma'amid in the first place. So the machlokes we show them is there such a what the reason is? Is it a din in a Torah, like Rashi seems to say, or is it only a chumah mit rabbanan? How do we pass in the halacha? Do we pass in as even a problem with ma'amid altogether? So Mikra didn't pass in that there's no problem with ma'amid. The Shulchan Aruch does have two different comments about it. So one place it seems to be machmir, but the Mishnah points out that the Mikra din is, like it appears to Shulchan Aruch in the other place, that ma'amid is really mutter. You know, the real Mikra din, we don't pass in like Tatana, we don't pass in like Tatamayra, we pass in like Rabbi Mishavim that ma'amid doesn't exist before. There's no such thing. As long as the schach itself is kosher, the loch path, they couldn't care less what's over the schach. But nevertheless, the Shabura says that since there are some Rishonim who passed in that it's a problem, so therefore, definitely, those Rishonim, we try to be machmir. The Chachilim, when we build the sukkah, we try, if at all possible, to do it in such a way that it's not really not a real problem of ma'amid. Again, it's a chumah lechachilah, it's not mikradim. So what would that mean practically for us? Those who want to follow this chumah lechachilah would now have an issue when they're constructing the sukkah, so they have to be careful not just what the schach is. You have to be careful what's holding up the schach as well. That's another issue with the canvas sukkahs, is that the canvas sukkahs are made with a frame, a metal frame. The metal is the kabotumah, it's not going to be in the karka. Metal is a big problem in terms of schach. Again, I'm not using the metal of schach, I'm using the metal to hold up the schach, so that would be a potential problem of ma'amid. It's the only problem with chatchila. With the yad nikra din the sukkahs k'sheir, but with chatchila, that would potentially be a problem.
We use a bamboo thing, so each pole is connected by a little string, and just like a big string and pull them into the plenty. So my dad puts up beams of wood on top of the metal frame.
Okay, good. So we get that. So it's mechaving to the Magen Avraham. Okay, we'll get that in a second. Okay? So the Magen Avraham has a kula. The Magen Avraham claims, based on some Rishonim, the Magen Avraham claims that when is there a problem with ma'amid? And the whole ma'amid is a chumra b'yama. But when is there even a potential problem with ma'amid? That's only when the staff is resting directly on the ma'amid, on the davar of a kabel tumah. But if there's, let's say you have three levels. You have a ma'amid, you have a piece of metal, and then you take up a piece of wood, and then you throw the schach on top of the piece of wood. So even though the schach is sitting on the wood, which is sitting on the metal, that's okay. The fact that it's totally being supported by metal, that's all right. As long as the direct support is through something which is kosher for schach. That's what the Magen Avraham used the phrase. It's called ma'amid de ma'amid. As long as you have it, it's called ma'amid de ma'amid, that would be okay. So the Chazanish denies that. The Chazanish claims there is no such halacha. Not correct that there is no such school called ma'amid de ma'amid. The Chazanish had a different way of bringing the Rishonim. But whatever it is, the Chazanish himself passed that ma'amid is not really a problem. So the Chazanish is the biggest mach, but people only quote the chumah part of the Chazanish. People quote the Chazanish as saying that ma'amid de ma'amid doesn't exist, there's no such school, and therefore the entire sukkah has to be wood, the gamri, can't have anything, any metal, any support of anything in the Sukkah, but then in the same piece of Chazanish, she writes that that's all the Chachilah, the Diyah, he says that the Sukkah is Kshayah no matter what, even if it's Mama sitting on metal, because he holds that we pass the Mikvah in the Mama, it's not a problem. So half the Chazanish gets cool, the other half doesn't get cool. So anyway, whatever it is, Me'ik and Mikvah, then we pass the Mama, it's not really a problem, it's only the Chachilah, and with the little Chachilah, you have to like this, the Mechmag and the Chazanish, the Yisav, and you're putting the wood in. That's what most people do. Most people want to avoid the problem of Mama. So it's only like a chilah problem. They do it to put some kind of a wood contraption, kind of setup like they're describing, to prevent the schach from actually resting on the metal problem. Thanks. So hopefully, that's Shem tomorrow. We'll give you some more.